हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, chapter 17, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ecstatic Love, page 9. 1-3, 7-8. Bhava, arising from absorption in sadhana, will be discussed first. Right, so bhava means it's spontaneous. Right, but there's the and so bhava then will come from sadhana, and that means, does that make sense? So through vaidhi, you can get to bhava. And then from there, the spontaneity will continue. Right? Bhava arising from sadhana has two types, arising from vaidhi sadhana and arising from raganuga sadhana. Absorption in sadhana, nishta, produces ruchi, then asakti, and then rati or bhava for the Lord. So when one's fixed, that steadiness in devotional service, that's what produces ruchi. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. If we're saying sadhana bhakti, from that, then you can get to the platform of bhava. But that becomes because you become steady in sadhana. Right? So before that, the first stage is, then it's anishta. But it's still connected to the Lord. And by practicing it, then in good association, one comes to the point of being fixed. Right? And what's fixed is that convinced about Krishna consciousness. Right? That it's about Krishna consciousness, that's the real thing. Mm-hmm. Right? If Krishna is the really real thing, then that means devotional service is then that's the actual only method to get attain him. And the other elements of the tools of religion, those are there simply as things to use in the servants of bhakti. But it's bhakti itself, which is the means bhakti includes them all. Right? Just like if we say cooking, it includes all the techniques of cooking. Right? Does that make sense? They're not something separate. We don't say techniques of something else. Does that make sense? It's techniques of cooking. So when I say cooking, it includes all that. So if I say, yeah, okay, then, you know, how's this, you know, okay, what are you cooking? Yeah, we're going to be frying this, and we're going to be steaming that, and boiling that, and baking that. You know, like this. You know, is anyone going to go, hey, wait, what is all these different things? That's not cooking. That's baking. That's not cooking. You understand? So that's what comes up, is when these religious processes are not seen in their original state as servants of Krishna, servants of bhakti, then it's said that, oh no, but then, you know, let's say varnashram, it's a separate thing. So some will say it can be only until we establish varnashram, then there'll be devotion, and some say we don't need varnashram because we're transcendental. You understand? So, like that, then things like charity, being nice, scripture, you know, being scholarly, all these different things, we're seeing them separate. That's the perverse consciousness. Right? So then, pure consciousness sees they're just aspects of bhakti. So those aspects of religion that are favorable for Krishna, that's the devotional process. That's the pure devotional process. Then those that are for ourselves, they may be authorized, but now we're using it for ourselves for karma and jnana. That's the part that's not useful for bhakti. So most of the time, it's just a change in the consciousness, not in technique. But sometimes, because we want to make the polluted consciousness complete in itself, then the rituals and that are extended, the religious processes are extended to accommodate that polluted consciousness. Does that make sense? And so then those things are not necessary. Those can be dropped. But the natural forms of religion, how it serves bhakti, that's the original state. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of sadhana, is that those things that are not useful, those are the ones that we're dealing with in the beginning of devotional service. But as we have faith that no, it's just bhakti is the thing, then we can become steady, and that steadiness, that will bring taste, then asakti, and then bhava. So, Srila Prabhupada. Elevation to the stage of ecstasy can be possible in two ways. One is by constant association with pure devotees. The other way is by the special mercy of Krishna, or by the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. Right? So both is by associating with pure devotees. But one is by the association, one's by the mercy in that association. Elevation to the ecstatic stage of life is generally attained through association with pure devotees, while elevation to that stage by the special mercy of Krishna or his devotee is very rare. The purport is that one should execute devotional service rigidly in the association of devotees, so that there will be certainty in raising oneself to that ecstatic position. In special cases, of course, there is special favor from Krishna, and although we should always expect that, we should not sit idly and simply wait for Krishna's special mercy. The regular duties must be performed. In other words, the aspects of Vaidhi Sadhana, we're performing that in the association of pure devotees. And that will elevate us to, if we continue with that, then to Bhava. Now, if in performance in that, we get Krishna's special mercy, and that animu can move forward, then that's fine. But it's not that itself is a sadhana or practice. It's special mercy of Krishna that then one can see in this platform of spontaneous devotional service. Right? So Raganuga sadhana means it's just special mercy of Krishna. It's not something gained by an effort. Right? If it was gained by that standard effort, that's called Vaidhi. So nowadays what most people present as Raganuga sadhana is actually just Vaidhi bhakti. But not understanding what it is, they'll consider that because it's different, so then it must be. Does that make sense? Yeah. It is just as when sometimes it is found that a person who never attended school or college may be recognized as a great scholar, or an honorary degree from great universities may be offered to him. But this does not mean that one should avoid school and expect to automatically receive an honorary degree from some university. But you perform that. Because the point is it's sadhana, so it looks the same. It's the attitude. So if, by Krishna's mercy, that attitude changes, then that's very wonderful. But if not, by that sadhana, we'll go through and it will change anyway. So what we're saying here is that at bhava, it will change anyway, when we'll practice Raganuga Bhakti. But the point is whether that came up earlier in the Madhyama platform or not, that's the question. Does that make sense? So it's not necessary. If it comes up, great. And if it doesn't come up, it's nothing to worry about. Right? So performing the recommended devotional activities in the association of pure devotees, that's what's going to make the process work. So if we say that Vaidhi Bhakti means associating, performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees, how is that a bad thing? Because even the rag will be in the same position. Right? Because we may take it that mistakenly that Vaidhi means it's just, you know, just anything kind of being, it means it's being done, but it's not necessarily that special of a situation. But being in the association of pure devotees, that's special. Right? Pure devotee means one who's, you know, interested in pure devotion. Right? So, Similarly, one should devotedly execute the regular principles of devotional service and at the same time hope for Krishna's favor or for his devotee's favor. And so we're performing our sadhana with the hope that we will gain Krishna's mercy or the devotee's mercy. 319. Bhava arising from Vaidhi Sadhana is illustrated. O Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantas, I could hear them describe the activities of Lord Krishna. These became very attractive, ruchi. Thus, listening attentively, asakti, rati for the personality of Godhead, appeared. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.26. Right? The fifth chapter of Bhagavatam is already showing how someone's, you know, from sadhana has come to bhava. So that's the fun, is that all these things are given, but we don't know. We don't realize that that's what we're talking about. So he's talking about that. I could hear them describe the activities. So in that association, right, it's saying performing the devotional service in the association of pure devotees. I could hear them describe the activities. Right? So he's regularly hearing while I was there. So that became regular. Then these became very attractive. Ruchi. That's what ruchi is. It's attractive. You like doing devotional service. Thus, listening attentively, asakti, means he was attached to hearing. Rati for the personality of Godhead appeared. Srila Jiva Goswami. The mercy on or anugraha mentioned in this verse means that the devotee gave their permission to Narada to hear. This is the scriptural procedure. Quote, you should also listen to these talks about Krishna, end quote. Manoharaha, attractive, indicates, quote, causing the appearance of ruchi, end quote. Sadhana, or faith, is not mentioned in the verse. Shradhar, faith, says it is always a necessary element. Right? So they're just starting at, those are already there. And so he's practicing. So with the permission of these great personalities, he was practicing the devotional process. And from that then, he developed that attraction, that attachment. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti. You understand? It's that simple. Does that make sense? So this thing is that there's this whole process of raga nuga that's unnecessary. Because rag means it's simply you have that natural attraction. That's what it means. It's not a particular performance of activities. That's called sadhana. Rag means you have an attraction for that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So if we practice 9 angas of bhakti, then we have attraction to some, but some, it's difficult. So we have basically to force ourselves to follow that.
Yeah, if it's necessary, if that's within the what's recommended and within the scope of what we should do, then we do those. But otherwise, the other ones, if you have an attraction and you like doing, you can always emphasize those.
What can we actually call it rock sadhana?
It means, is it steady? Rag means it's steady. Means if it's sometimes there and sometimes not, yes, it has that aspect of attraction and that, but it's not steady, so you wouldn't call it by that name. You know what I'm saying? So when we say someone is in the platform of nishta, it means that they're always nishta. Not sometimes, not, because, like that. Or taste means they always have the taste. Not that. So let's say you go to a very nice kirtan, and it was really, you get a taste there. And so you're tasting that on the level of ruchi, but our level of advancement's not on the level of ruchi, because when we leave the kirtan, we don't have that same taste. It'll be at as whatever our natural state is. But the point is, as we said, it's bhava that's extending down into all these aspects. Right? So we're tasting something from there. And there may be some attachment for it, but then that attachment wanes. Like, it brings up about kirtan, then that attachment is there, we feel it. But then if another topic comes up, we forget about that attachment. So we're not situated there. But those elements, I mean, those experiences, those are real. But it just has to be enough that we call it that it, by volume. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So... Yeah. You know, it's just like if you know, like if you're hungry, I give you one pakora and that's it. You won't call it a meal, but that pakora is part of a meal. It's not that it's something else. It's not that it's a non-meal. It's part of that. It's only when I, you know, put half a bucket on your plate, then okay, now we're talking about a meal. You understand? So that's what it is we're tasting ruchi. There's some attachment, there's some steadiness here and there. There's occasions of certain things we're giving up, and you know, the asakti, you know, bhajana kriya we're generally performing. You expect that it's at least the basics we're performing. Now whether we have attachments or not, that's another thing. You know? But it's just like, let's say the person has faith in Krishna consciousness, but he doesn't always associate with devotees. So they're on the platform of faith, but when they regularly associate, then you say, now they've come to that second platform. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the same way. So it is real taste, but it's just, it's not steady, so therefore we don't say that it's that particular taste. You know, we don't say it's on the platform of taste. Yeah? It's a sample of taste. Like that, you know, and it's always good. Right?
In the previous verse, 1378, it mentions that there are two types of bhava, and Vaidhi Sadhana arising from Raganuga Sadhana. So, Raganuga Sadhana, it is mentioned earlier. So, Sadhana is practicing Raganuga. Like, how to understand what exactly is being mentioned earlier? Because.
But here. Have we explained that sadhana bhakti, there's a certain set of rules, there's 64 angas of sadhana bhakti. Now, you can be following those, now you follow those because that's the recommendation, and you practice those in the association of the pure devotees, right? And that becomes sadhana bhakti, right? Now, that you're following this because it's the rules and that's what should be done and you're using your intelligence and appreciating that, that's called Vaidhi Sadhana. If, as Prabhupada mentions, then by the mercy of Krishna or his devotees, one actually has an interest in that, that taste or attachment for following those rules to please Krishna, then that's called Rag. But it's not about the rule, it's about serving Krishna. Has that been explained or not? You understand? So when it says Raganuga Sadhana, what does that sadhana mean? Something other than those 64 items?
You.
No.
Can you develop the definition of pure devotee? Because sometimes you can say pure devotee is following pure devotee.
Yes, pure devotee means that your interest is pure devotional service. Whether we are on that platform or not, that's another thing. But it means ideal someone who is situated there and only performing pure devotional service. But the point is they have that determination that that's all they're interested in. So in any case, by reading Prabhupada's books, by chanting and all that, who are we associating with? Right, so you're Krishna and the pure devotees.
Yes.
And if we associate with those devotees that are following those devotees, then we're getting the same effect. Does that make sense? So we're careful about materialistic devotees, that the material aspects, then they're just taken as it's all right. We're not fanatic. Yes. Then you kind of are careful about that association. I mean, if that comes up, service is there, you perform your service. But that may not be your advanced service that you associate with.
Yes.
Right? That doesn't mean that someone doesn't have maybe some anarthas left there, but they're not important to them. They just are there because of previous practice.
Yes.
And by devotional service, they'll go away. But if it's like they're committed to them, you know, like someone's committed, like you said to, oh no, we're households, we have to be practical and all that, we can't be fanatic and all, then you raise the problem here. Right? Does that make sense? If that's their philosophy. If their philosophy is pure devotion and someone's getting into the rules and that missing pure devotion, you might say this to them to make them understand that there's something beyond just the rules. But if they're taking it that they don't need to really follow all these things because it's you know, their grihasas are just being practical, now that will be an attachment. You know, or until, you know, these niceties of the mundane world are established within society, the society, pure devotion can't flourish. You know, like morality and this, and, or, you know, good management and all these things. Then they're also, that's not pure, that's not in pursuance of pure devotion. So, much of the time as you find, let's say, that same devotee who might say that, on another topic or in another environment, then they'll act in that case as a pure devotee. But when it comes into, let's say, like this management or ethics or these, that's when the mixed element becomes prominent. So you try to avoid that one. You associate with them in the situations where they're manifesting the pure aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
Now, is this
chance for the morning to be like that? It's
want to accept spiritual master. This practice, as he always preached glory of Muhammad.
That means by following that practice of always chanting in that, means even though he's reluctant to accept spiritual master in those aspects, but by continuing in that and chanting in that, then the heart will become purified and he'll appreciate where he can actually appreciate taking up the association of devotees. But at least that he has faith in the name and is willing to spend all day chanting, that's a good thing. But it will result in them heart become purified where they'll appreciate the association of devotees. Does that make sense? So that's the whole, that's the perfection of this process. Is no matter what, where you start, it will, you'll get the results of everything else. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And so you're starting here in the middle, but you keep reading the end, then you go back to the beginning and then reading. So you'll cover the whole thing. Does that make sense? So they'll advance. But the point is that aspect of being able to surrender to devotees and all that, that's a very important aspect within the process, because that's what's going on in the spiritual world. If we can't surrender here, why aren't we surrendering? It's not like, oh, we haven't found somebody yet, we're looking, but we haven't come across. Then it wouldn't come up as that they're not surrendering. We'd just take them as a new bhakta. But when we have the aspect as they're not surrendering, means someone's asked them about it and they're not interested. Right? Yeah. So then it's a philosophy. What are you going to do when you get to the spiritual world? Right? You know, what do they do there? Right? Krishna. Okay. He's surrendered to the devotees. Okay? Then you come down. Radharani is surrendered to Krishna. Right? The Astasakya is surrendered to Radharani. You know, Rupa and his Rupa is under the protection of Lalita then, serving Radharani. Previous acharyas are serving Rupa. Srila Prabhupada's serving the previous acharyas serving Rupa, serving Radharani, serving Krishna. Like this. So if you don't have that mood of surrender, you're not going to like that. And if you say, no, but I'll surrender to them, but Prabhupada says surrender to the spiritual master who's present. That's what's there. So how are you surrendered? Oh, they're not on that platform. Is that? Oh, but are you in a position to decide that? You can say, I haven't developed faith, but don't say they're not qualified. Right? You can't say you're not qualified. You can say I haven't developed the faith in someone, and so then, and you can appreciate that that's not necessarily an ideal situation. You know, somehow or another, you have that misfortune. I haven't developed that faith, but that doesn't mean that they aren't worth putting faith in, because you're dealing with the parampara. It's not just them. You say, oh yeah, I can have faith in Prabhupada. Problem is because he's serving the others. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, quote, there, every day, by the mercy of the sages who are reciting topics about Krishna, hearing these topics, I developed Rati for Krishna, who has pleasing fame. Anugraha. Oh no, excuse me, that's the next one. See, here, that's why he brought it out. There, every day, by the mercy of the sages. Because before he mentioned the mercy of the sages, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out every day he did this. So that's why the nishta. And then from that, then he developed rati. But so it was, you know, everything's been explained before, but he's bringing out this thing that it was on a daily basis, and the result of that is he developed rati, because we might not catch that that's what happened. And mercy, anugraha, mentioned in this verse means that the devotees gave their permission to Narada to hear, right? He's not talking about rag, because you can say, oh, but there's mercy, so therefore it's rag. No, they gave the mercy that he could come and hear, following the scriptural procedure. Right? So therefore it's Vaidhi. You should also listen to these talks about Krishna, end quote. This indicates Vaidhi Bhakti. The word Manohara means causing the appearance of Ruchi. Though one should mention that faith, as the starting point of all stages, is the cause of Rati. The description is given in this way to show quick appearance of rati from absorption in the stages arising after anartha nivritti. Right? So you can say is that by the practice of devotional service with faith in the association of devotees will develop rati. Right? But they're just showing, you know, technically how it was going. That he was hearing on a regular basis, that developed taste, that developed detachment, right? And the taste, you know, and how he mentioned the taste. These became very attractive, right? The talks, ruchi. Thus, listening attentively, right? Asakti. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the nature of these different words used by the acharyas. That gives us a broader understanding. Right? You generally see, as Matthew brought up before, is that the scholars and that tend to have one word has one meaning. And that's why generally the lives of scholars are quite one-dimensional. Because they can't deal outside of one meaning. Like that. As more meanings, then you get two-dimensional, three-dimensional, right, you know. Right, transcendental, then you can get turiya, like that. You can expand like that. So here's that. These became very attractive. Just they were attractive. That's ruchi. Listening attentively, that you want to hear. That's asakti. Right, so with these, then we actually start to understand the process. Otherwise, we make it into a mechanical, you know, these various boxes and all this, and that, and say that that's the devotional process. That's vaidhi. Yes, but you have to understand it has a much wider range. So as we're seeing here, is that how Prabhupada's explained Raghunuga Bhakti, then the acharyas are saying the same thing. Right? And here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing this out and showing what's vaidhi and this and that. And he's generally the acharya that's known for delineating Raghunuga Bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? So we can see that there's no difference of opinion. It's just that you're bringing out various aspects. If we get caught up on a word and interpret it in our particular way, all these other words strive to broaden our understanding so it takes on an actual practical and deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It seems that Narada Muni has the perfect attitude.
Perfect?
Attitude.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's why that example is given, mm-hmm. is that he has that perfect attitude, and by that, then you advance very nicely. Mm-hmm. So that's why Bhagavatam is so perfect, is giving all the examples of how people, from whatever their position, they obtain pure devotional service. Right? You know, we start off with one of the first stories is Kardama Muni. Right? So he's a brahmachari, but he the idea of getting into household life and everything is very much on his mind. So he does that, and how he goes through it, then we see. He's by authority, then he gets that permission, then he goes through the process very nicely, and then he takes up renunciation. So the all these are showing various ways that we can come to the platform of pure devotion. Yeah, so it's a very good example. Very good example. So that's why you see is that difficulties in life aren't necessarily a problem. Because here, he's just with his mother, and he's small, and then his mother dies, but you see is that he's through the processes there, he's already been brought to this platform of Baba. Then he at 6 years old, he wanders around the world, and you don't see him complaining about how tough it is. You know, you think it's tough like that, you try being six and walking around the world. It never comes up. Right? Because he's absorbed in the Lord, so he's dependent on the Lord, and things work out. Material world means there's going to be something funny happening. But as we see, is on the pure devotional platform, all these obstacles are taken in connection with how to remember Krishna. Right? Otherwise, then we have the tendency of not remembering Krishna. Right? Obstacles come up, we forget Krishna. But if obstacles come up and we remember Krishna, then we're getting somewhere. That's what Kunti Devi is pointing out. When there's obstacles, they were remembering. When there's not obstacles, they tend to forget. We're thinking, no, when there's no obstacles, then I'll remember. Then that would have been Kunti Devi's experience. So, yeah.
Okay.
The description is given in this way to show the quick appearance of rati from absorption in the stages arising after anatta nivritti. Right, so, and Vishwanath points out is that when it comes to that point of that clearing stage in chanting, once fixed in devotional service, then very quickly the anattas go away. The example he gives is that of the wind in a storm blowing away dry leaves. You know, just very easily they're all just blowing away. Like that. 1.3.10. The word rati in the Bhagavatam verse indicates bhava, not prema. Because two verses later, the appearance of prema is indicated with the words, my bhakti, prema, then appeared. Right? Because if he's on the platform of rati, and then he says, my bhakti appeared, that means then they're talking of bhakti is prema. Because right? That's the actual. So then, that's why that's bhakti, and before that is technically practice. It may be on the practice on the level of rati, so we don't really need to use the word sadhana, right? We just say bhava or rati, and before that, that's sadhana, like that. So that's why then you see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sometimes point out that devotee means prema. Yeah. And before that, we're practicing to be a devotee by associating with devotees. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It just puts it in context. Srila Jiva Goswami. In verse 1.5.28 of the Bhagavatam, quoted in the next verse of the text, Narada says, bhakti pravritatma rajastamo paha. The word bhakti indicates prema. Thus, in the context, rati in this verse means bhava, since it is the preliminary state, and bhakti means prema, since it is the superior state. Thus, the difference between bhava and prema, as stated in the definition of bhava, is illustrated. Bhava is like a ray of the sun of prema. Okay, so that's how you see, depending on the situation, then the words are used. Because we'll say bhakti just means you have devotion. But when we're saying that devotion is complete, then that's called prema. Does that make sense? And when we say rati here is used as bhava, because rati means there's the attraction to the Lord. And there may be ecstatic symptoms and all that. But it hasn't come to the platform of actually being, that's the stable position. Does that make sense? So when you're stable in prema, then it's called by that position.
The stages of rati and prema, and what we describe later about eight stages of priti.
Yes.
Is these the first two stages described? Or?
Yes, these are the first two. Because priti means you have these eight. Because, see, the thing is you can use one term to describe it all. But the problem is that because they have their specifics, then there's an overlap in definitions. So then, most of the time, you don't have to use a very specific. But if you're trying to show how all these terms come together, then like that, you use priti. Because it's not one of the eight. Because bhava, prema, because it's all, you say, the eight stages of prema. But then the problem comes is then sneha, then it has a different name. So it's higher than prema. So that if you say priti, then it includes all of them. So it works very nicely. Does that make sense?
So then the difference.
Because rati, that same rati, will go through all eight stages. It's just that the intensity of that devotional experience increases with each one. But rati's there, prema's there, sneha's there. You know, it's just like before that, you have shraddha. It goes. So Prabhupada mentions prema is mature shraddha. So even there, it's continuing through. You know. Does that make sense?
Yes. So in this context,
it's just like if I say, "Why don't you come over to my house for breakfast?" Okay, and we're in South India. What does that mean? Yeah, like that. I don't have to say it. I just have to say breakfast, right? That's preeti. Right? You understand? Now, if I say, come over to my house for idlis, Does that mean it's only idli, or does that mean the chutney and sambar and you know, and depending on where you're from, some lankas and everything else? And yeah, all that gunpowder and things like that. So it'll all be there. Right? So that's the thing, is by one of them you can include all the others. It just brings out a different thing. But by saying idli, it means more of that, because it could be, you know, utapams or something. You know? So does that make sense? You know, so it's just a matter of, in general, you just have to use the general, but if you happen to be specific, then by using priti, it's just show. When you say priti, then rati is the first stage of bhava, and then prema is the second stage, and sneha is like this. But otherwise, if you're saying prema, you mean the whole thing. But if we're talking bhava and prema, or rati and prema, then you're going to mean, rati means the first stage, prema means the second through the eighth. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the context.
Yeah, and then why it is described that the prema is complete, but rati is not as such in this.
Because rati, there you have that attraction. Means, and so that's why it's considered that preliminary stage. Means it's considered within the eight, within priti, so that you have your particular attraction to Krishna in the particular that develops rasa, right? But it hasn't come to that fullness that you can call it prema. There's still something not quite there. Either there's something in the way, which means it's below samadhi, you know, or below apandas, the first three stages, you know, the shravana, manana, shravana, varana, and smarana. It hasn't come to that point of samadhi that now you're qualified for apandasa. You know, so, like that's there, or it's there, you're on apandasa, but it hasn't come to the fullness of the intensity that the eternal associates have. And so when it comes to that platform, then that's prema. And so the distinction is made of there is you have Sarup City means now you're taking part, but Vastu City, now you've come to the platform of prema. Does that make sense? Before that is the Siddhadeha, or the Sarup. So even there you're seeing there's three stages.
So from the definitions of Rati and prema, prema is at the stage of prema, then this possessiveness is included as a factor.
You get possessiveness when yeah, you could say it's always there, because otherwise it means it's not always there. So that would be the factor. But you also have, depends upon how it's described. Means when they get into technical, are those in Shanta Rasa as Vaishnavas? Are they counted on the platform of prema, or they're only counted on the platform of rati? Have you come across?
Yeah, I came across sometimes either way.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is because then in if they're on the platform of prema, they don't have any possession. So then it would be talking about those other than that. So you might find that there is that element, but it hasn't become exclusive. So that's where apandas comes in. Now that possessiveness that's the purva rag, that attachment, that attraction. Then it takes on that possessiveness. So that it's full enough that it's constant, but it doesn't have the depth. You know, it's just like dhyan and samadhi. They're both full meditation, but dhyan means you're meditating, samadhi means it has that depth. So then, having come to that depth, now you're qualified to be able to take part in pastimes. But to be able to come to the element where it takes on that fullness that is prema. That's why we can describe just the technical positions, but we can't describe the experience. We can't describe what it is. No one will do it. Someone claims, I'll explain to you prema, that like things like that, you already know they're bogus. Because that can't be explained. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Bhava is like the ray of sun, and prema is the sun. 1.3.11. There it is also said, thus during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great-souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of this Lord Hari, right? So he said constantly. So that means he's always hearing. That's, so it's nishtha. And unadulterated, so it's on their pure, on the pure platform. As the flow of my prema appeared, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. Right? So here he's pointing out, he said that was in the next verse. So then that brought him to the platform of prema. So that's why he's making the difference. Here he said prema, but in the verse I think he uses the word bhakti. Right? So that's what they're pointing it out. Srila Prabhupada. An example of rising to the stage of ecstatic love by executing the regular principles of devotional service is given in the life story of Narada, which is described to Vyasadeva in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada tells there of his previous life and shows how he developed to the stage of ecstatic love. He was engaged in the service of great devotees and used to hear their talks and songs. Because he had the opportunity to hear these pastimes and songs of Krishna from the mouths of pure devotees, he became very attracted within his heart. Because he had become so eager to hear these topics, he gradually developed within himself an ecstatic love for Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada showed the technical points here. Right? He had the opportunity to hear, right, from pure devotees. He became attracted. Because he came so attracted is ruchi. Because he became eager, that's a sakti. So that's the thing, the acharyas can nicely explain these things, right? And he gradually developed within himself an ecstatic love for Krishna, so that he came to rati. Right? Or unless he's talking about both of them, because it's from this one, then he's talking about he came to bhava and that came brought him to prema. This ecstatic love is prior to the pure love of Krishna, so this ecstatic love means bhava then, in this case. Because in the next verse, Narada confirms that by the gradual process of hearing from the great sages, he developed love of Godhead. In that connection, Narada continues to say in the first canto, 5th chapter, verse 28 of the Bhagavatam, quote, "First, I passed my days in the association of the great sages during the rainy autumn season. Every morning and evening I heard them while they were singing and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus my heart gradually became purified. As soon as I heard from them with great attention, the influence of the modes of material nature and passion disappeared. Oh, material ignorance and passion disappeared. And I became firmly fixed in devotional service to the Lord." Right? So then became fixed by regular hearing. And by being fixed, then that brought around his attraction and his eagerness. Right? Which then brought him to Rati. These are practical examples of how one can develop to the stage of ecstatic love simply by the association of pure devotees. It is essential, therefore, that one constantly associate with pure devotees who are engaged morning and evening in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, one will get the chance to purify his heart and develop this ecstatic, pure love for Krishna. 1.3.12. In the third canto, there is a similar usage of the word bhava. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually develops faith, rati, and prema for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25. One of those themes? Huh? You have. Two, one on each side. Huh? Huh? I'm coughing. Okay. He's also coughing. You want one? You have. Okay. Looks like now we have to put him in a bowl, right? The season's there. Anyone else need? No? Oh, these are getting old. We have to get some new ones. Okay. My dear mother, when a person is actually in association with pure devotees, the sublime potency of my devotional service can be experienced. Right? So experience means that's the aparoksha. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you're in the association of the pure devotees, then the chit potency coming down through them, right, it descends. That's what Krishna says, from the aprakrita to the adhoksaja down to aparoksha. Mm. And then one can experience that. Mm. Yeah? In other words, when a pure devotee speaks, his words act upon the hearts of the audience. What is the secret of hearing and chanting? A professional speaker cannot impress transcendental ecstasy within the hearts of the listeners. Right? Though they may speak very expertly. I haven't heard, but I've had other devotees, so they were invited to, I think, a program that the Birlas were putting on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would have the best there is. And they would come and speak, and this devotee who was telling me, he majored in what do you call it?
Rhetoric,
and also it's bigger than just drama, meaning just plays. It also public speaking, drama, public speaking, rhetoric, that kind of. I mean, in other words, how to present. Yeah. So you know, and he knew that area. And he said this guy was like the best he had ever heard. Mm-hmm. It's just so smooth. So I mean, otherwise the Birlas, well, you know, they're not going to have just any old guy. But he was so good. But the point is they don't actually deliver transcendental understanding because they don't have it. But speaking, it's just like, you know, they're just like so wonderful at that. Professional speaker cannot impress transcendental ecstasy within the hearts of the listeners. However, when a realized soul who is engaged in the service of the Lord is speaking, he has a potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. One should, therefore, seek the association of such pure, unalloyed devotees. And by such association and service, a neophyte devotee will certainly develop attachment, love, and devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's certain, it will happen. You just have to stay in the process as a regular thing. That's the thing. When it's regular, then you see it moves very quickly. 1.3.13. In the Puranas and Natya Shastra, Rati and Bhava have the same meaning. Thus, in this work, they will have the same meaning. Right? So, the scriptures describe the Rati and Bhava as the same. You know, the Puranas, then they use it, but also Natya Shastra, so Rupa Goswami also uses it as a basis, like that, as the authority, when it comes to all the different rasas and that. So, therefore, in this book, it'll also have this is Rupa Goswami, right? Because we were just meeting Vishwanath and that, and I was thinking, yeah, so, no, but this one, this is, yeah. Yeah. So, it's also important to note here is that it's not that, because Nard Muni, then he's famous as a Vaikuntha man, right? So, then, in this context, it's not that there isn't a spontaneous element there, that they don't have that spontaneous attraction to the Lord, but it will be expressed through grandeur. You know, that's their feeling of expression. So it's not that they can't come to the spontaneous platform, because you can talk to the Vaikuntha devotees about spontaneous devotional service. They're not going to have a problem with it. But they just see the spontaneity in the performance of their activities in Aishwarya. That's why we want to be careful of these things that, oh, Raganuga has a specific practice, because it's also there in Vaikuntha. But it's not the prominence. The prominence means that may be their attitude, but it's expressed through the grandeur. Does that make sense? So therefore we don't talk about them, we'll talk, because it's based on the Vaidhi and all that, but they have a spontaneous attraction to function in that capacity. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're good with that? Yeah. Okay. 1.3.14. Bhava arising from Raganuga Sadhana is illustrated in the Padma Purana. Right? So that before, well, that was then how it came up from Vaidhi, right? A young girl, having great joy in the heart and being very ecstatic to dance, spent the whole night dancing in order to please the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In the Padma Purana, there's a story of a neophyte devotee who, in order to raise herself to the ecstatic platform, danced all night to invoke the Lord's grace upon her. Srila Jiva Goswami. The word manoratam, with joy in the heart, indicates raganuga sadhana. By the influence of the deity form, she developed rag similar to that of Krishna's dear associates. The girl has also said previously in the same Padma Purana, among many women, the Lord has greatest affection for me. He dances with me while embracing my neck. But though this claim is made by the young girl in the Padma Puran, it is also said that Radha is the supreme lover of Krishna in the Gautamiya Tantra. I am the three principles, effect, cause, and that which transcends both effect and cause. Radhika, my dear lover, is also these three principles. Just as I am transcendental to matter, so is she, my energy, transcendental to matter. So here Krishna is, he's effect and cause, right? But at the same time, he's also transcendental to that. That's the meaning. It says he's cause and effect in the first two verses of the Chaturshloki. But then in the third, he's saying he's also what's beyond cause and effect. In the Gautamiya Tantra, Krishna also says, Radhika is said to be the same as Krishna. She is the supreme deity, representing all auspiciousness, all beauty, and supreme attraction. So when you take it, this oneness without the difference, take it to extreme, then you end up with Shaktas. Right? They're only seeing the oneness. Right? That Shakti is non-different from the Lord and is the Lord's, you know, like that. And so therefore represents that aspect of the Supreme. That's correct. But to take it that that's all there is, that's then the Shakti. So it's impersonal. Because they're not understanding that Krishna is beyond that. He's all three. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when you talk about Durga and that, you're talking about cause and effect. Mm-hmm. Or even if you're talking about the spiritual world, the cause and effect there, mm-hmm. then that's the internal potency. But there's also beyond these two, the source of that, because why is there cause and effect unless there's a desire for that? Mm-hmm. Somebody says. Right? So Krishna has that desire to interact with the devotees. And then it's not going to be a nothing. It's going to be that, therefore there's going to be all the forms and all the arrangements and activities and elements and all that that you can then interact based on. Mm-hmm. That's the cause and effect. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But Krishna, being beyond that, desiring to interact, therefore that's the cause of cause and effect. Yes. So that's why he's the cause of all causes. Yes. In this way, Radha has been described. It should be understood that the young girl mentioned in the verse must be an expansion of that celebrated Radha, who embodies that great eternal Shakti. Radha decided to make the girl her Shakti when the girl reached the final stage. And her mercy considered that the girl, achieving all perfection by that sadhana, was non-different from herself. For this reason, the Padma Purana described that the young girl thought herself as the only lover of Krishna, identifying herself as Radha. Right? So she's doing that, but she's doing that as in the Brahma Samhita verse, you have the verse where it talks about maybe that one Premanjana Churita Bhakti, where then Radharani is there, she's the complete Shakti, and then her associates, then her prema pervades all of them.
Ananda Chinmaya Rasa.
That's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's that same principle of being in that mood that she's absorbed in the love Radharani has, and so feeling that mood, she's saying this. Right? But there'll always be that aspect of staying as servant. So.
Can we say also this is also the descending process? Radha decided to make the girl.
Yes, that's what I said. Her mercy decided to make a girl her Shakti. Right? So she's experienced the same thing that Radharani's experiencing, but she'll be experienced as the servant of Radharani. But the experience will be the same. So when she's saying that only there, she's thinking of Radharani in that aspect there, but she's experiencing that. That's why she can say it. Yes. But at the same time, as we understand that there's a difference. Yes. That's the importance of oneness and difference. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That'll come up as we get towards Priti Sakada. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Because that oneness is there, but at the same time, there's a difference. Otherwise, what's the point of oneness? Because you're experiencing it, you have to be two. But at the same time, it's as much as if you're one. So we're talking about something that will come up, be described later.
Yes.
But they're just pointing out how the stages work. Mm-hmm. The explanation will come up later. Yes?
Which was explained? You decided to invoke mercy of Srimati Radharani. That's why she started to dance. At first, Srimati Radharani wanted to give, decided to give you mercy, and that's why she.
But why would she? But in either case, it means one sense. Why does it? Why does it really matter? Because why would Radharani give her mercy unless she's done some service? It wouldn't be just this girl was walking down the street and all that, and you know, seeing what she could get, you know, like that, and then suddenly she became imbued with Radharani's mercy, and then just started dancing for Krishna. Does that make sense? You know. Yeah, she wasn't standing in front of the Dior shop on Rodeo Drive, and then just suddenly she became. Right? So we said? Yeah. Okay. Now, Baba arising from the mercy of Krishna or his devotee is defined. That bhava which appears suddenly without performance of sadhana is known as bhava produced from the mercy of Krishna or his devotee. 1.3.16. Bhava arising from Krishna's mercy is not considered.
It was not the case of Narada Muni to have a.
No, because that's why he got into the point of describing the mercy, because it was the mercy that he could hear.
Yes.
That's why they brought it out, because otherwise we'll say, no, but the word mercy, that's where the problem comes in.
Yes.
Is that we'll have just one meaning or an application for the word, but you have to understand the mercy can mean the mercy to take part in the process, but also that mercy for that you have come to that elevated platform.
Yes.
So there's a difference, but it's all mercy.
Yes.
You know, it's even mercy that you even came in contact with. It's just like by the Lord's mercy, then these great sages came to stay at the place where Narad Muni was.
Yes.
Then by their mercy, they allowed him to hear.
Yes.
Right? And then he moved forward. So that's why that's called Vaidhi. While here, it's just the girl just she wanted to please Krishna and all that, and gaining Radharani's mercy, then she was able to dance all night and this way please Krishna. Because prema has to come be given by Krishna.
Yes.
Okay. 1.3.16. Well, this is a slow minute.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.